And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. There's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy. And we're going to keep on going into activist news here. 8 women on camels, members of the Aboriginal-led organization Humps Not Dumps, who are making a 621-mile, that's a 1,000-kilometer trek through the Australian desert, hurled a pie in the face of Chuck Foldenauer, head of the U.S.-based Central Atomics, who operates a nasty uranium mine in southern Australia. The incident marks yet another tasty victory for what can be loosely called the biotic baking movement, whose ingredients include acetic group tart, Antarctistes, pâtissiers sans frontières, bakers without borders, and many different cells of the biotic baking brigade itself. In general, the movement targets corporate and international proponents of free trade and globalization, including former IMF chief Mikhail Kamadesus, WTO Director General Renato Ruggiero, Bill Gates, CEO of Microsoft, Robert Shapiro, CEO of Monsanto, and Milton Friedman. Anyway, they've all been pied by the Biotic Baking Brigade. On March 9th, activists around the U.S. showed their solidarity with the struggle of the Uwa people of Colombia to protect their sacred lands from Occidental Petroleum's effort to drill for oil. As thousands of Uwa people and their supporters face down an increasingly military presence and continue to blockade Oxy's proposed drill site, activists around the U.S. targeted Occidental's biggest shareholder, Fidelity Investments. The nationwide mobilization included demonstrations at Fidelity Investor Centers, teach-ins on campuses, community letter-writing tables, mass telephone actions, fax blasts, and even a visit by 4 grim reapers who wanted to invest in genocide at the San Francisco Fidelity office. Activists in Minneapolis targeted another of Occidental's important shareholder, Vice President Al Gore, by disrupting a campaign appearance. And then on March 10th, Uwa supporters in Portland, Oregon, showed that they could not tolerate Fidelity investing in the destruction of Uwa lands and cultures by occupying their local Fidelity Investor Center. 14 people were arrested, many of them for locking themselves to the front doors. The activists demanded to speak with top Fidelity managers about how the company could use its influence with Occidental Petroleum to peacefully resolve the ongoing crisis on Uwa land. If you want to get involved, contact Patrick at Rainforest Action Network, 1-800-989-RAIN. That's 1-800-989-RAIN. Or send email to organize@rand.org, organize@rand.org, or visit www.rand.org. 26 Greenpeace activists were arrested in Manila, Philippines, for delivering a container filled with industrial chemical waste to the U.S. Embassy. I guess they don't have much of a sense of humor there. The waste, including liquid soil and pieces of equipment contaminated with polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, were collected in residential areas near Clark Air Force Base, a former Philippine U.S. base. The activists demanded the U.S. clean up contamination at its former military bases all over the Philippines. The activists were later released without charges. Quote, "We are delivering this toxic cargo back to its rightful owner. The U.S. government should take immediate custody of these hazardous materials and accept responsibility to clean up the contamination at Clark and Subic." Subic Bay is a Navy base. According to John Hernandez, Greenpeace toxic campaigner in the Philippines, using a forklift truck driven by the captain of the Greenpeace ship Rainbow Warrior, Peter Wilcox, the environmental group delivered a shipping container of contaminated waste to the embassy. Unfortunately, E. Lynn Burkett, a public relations officer for Roseburg's Bureau of Land Management, confirmed today that Herbert Lumber has started harvest operations in Unit 5 of the Wright View timber sale. Tree protectors have been sitting in an old-growth tree in Unit 5 since January 9, 1999, effectively stopping the logging until today. When asked about the safety of the tree sitters, Burkett said, "All possible safety measures are being taken." Well, of course they are, except for not cutting down the trees. The tree sitters have been asking Elaine Zielinski, BLM Oregon State Director, to buy back Unit 5 of Wright View. Last week, hundreds of signatures on petitions asking for the buyback were sent to her office. You can help the tree sitters by calling the Oregon BLM office at 503-952-6002. That's 503-952-6002, try extension 6024, and demand the illegal logging stop immediately and that the BLM purchase the land back. Instead, the judge in Oregon, Judge Rothstein, in federal court ruled that the Wright View timber sale was illegal. BLM has tried to continue logging anyway because of the salvage logging rider, Their efforts resulted in a massive landslide in 1999 after they logged Units 1 and 2 up until the day tree protectors have been able to prevent the logging of Unit 5. The U.S. Forest Service, accompanied by armed law enforcement agents, entered the Clark timber sale recently to conduct surveys for the listed red tree vole as required by a ruling last November from federal Judge Dwyer. Forest activists have occupied tree sits in the sale for almost 2 years since an appeal of the sale by the Oregon Natural Resources Council, citing the failure of the Forest Service to conduct red tree vole surveys, was denied. The red tree vole is an old-growth arboreal dwelling rodent that is a prey species for the northern spotted owl. If you'd like more information, contact Shelley or Dean at 541-684-8977. That's 541-684-8977. Maxam Pacific Lumber Company has been given the green light to begin clear-cutting THP 520, known as the hole in the headwaters, starting April 1st. This extreme logging plan is the size of 656 football fields and lies entirely within the boundaries of the $480 million Headwaters Preserve. If logged, this plan will endanger downstream Elk River residents with increased flooding and ruin their drinking water supply. Also, the hole in the headwaters will lead to the extinction of one of the five last native coho salmon runs left in California. Orders to give the THP 520 the go-ahead came straight from Governor Gray Davis's office. We had been promised a major amendment which would have reopened public comment and taken into account cumulative impacts from recent logging and effects of the already fragmented Headwaters Preserve, but Hurwitz twisted Gray Davis's and Senator Dianne Feinstein's arm, and the plan has been put back on the fast track. Please call Governor Davis. Tell him to stop the logging. He still has about 14 days to do it. Governor Gray Davis's phone number, 916-445-2841. That's 916-445-2841. Fax, 4633, you know, same prefix, 4633 for the fax. graydavis@governor.ca.gov. That's Gray Davis, all one word, @governor.ca.gov or governor@governor.ca.gov. All right. Director of the California Department of Forestry. This is the person who can actually stop the logging directly by her job. Her name is Andrea Tuttle. Her phone number, 916-653-7772. That's 916-653-7772. Her fax number is 4171, or you can email her at Andrea_Tuttle@fire.ca.gov. Andrea_Tuttle@fire.ca.gov. Or if you'd like more information, contact North Coast Earth First, 707-825-6598. That's 707-825-6598 or ncef@humboldt1.com. And following furious protests by both loggers and environmentalists, California's Board of Forestry agreed to a set of temporary logging limits to protect dwindling coho salmon stock. The unanimous vote by the board on what was seen as a compromise measure will limit through the end of the year the number of trees that can be cut near streams on millions of acres of privately held California forest lands. During this period, state officials will develop specific plans for conserving the forest canopy in each major watershed area with an eye towards preserving the overall habitat of the coho salmon, which has seen its population decline sharply over the past decade. The compromise followed a day of protest in Sacramento during which hundreds of loggers converged on the state capitol building and environmentalists, or that means Earth Firsters, briefly disrupted the board's meeting. Environmental groups, which argued that the proposed limits did not go far enough, said Wednesday the compromised logging limits would not save the salmon unless the board makes some major improvements. These new rules spell extinction for the coho, said Alyssa Rosen, regional representative for the Sierra Club's field office. Logging industry representatives who had earlier argued the proposed limits would have cost some 8,000 logging jobs in rural California indicated they would accept the compromise measure while a more permanent plan was drawn up. The amount of wood cut in California has dropped by almost 60% since 1998. Excuse me, that's 1988, in large part because of court rulings limiting logging and protecting endangered species such as the spotted owl, as well as tighter federal forest restrictions and some local overharvesting. All right. Let's move into animal news here. The U.S. Geological Service is seeking Americans of all ages to listen for frogs and toads in their own backyards as part of Frog Watch USA. With the melodious calls of Pacific tree frogs and the arroyo toads in California filling the evening air, the second year of the U.S. Geological Survey's Frog Watch USA has begun, according to Sam Drudge, a wildlife biologist and amphibian researcher at the USGS Patuxent Wildlife Research Center in Laurel, Maryland. Frog Watch USA is a USGS educational program that provides children and adults with an opportunity to learn about the environment while collecting valuable information about their local frogs and toads. Amphibians are declining worldwide. Several species already have gone extinct, and once thriving species have diminished in great numbers. If you'd like to get involved, join the volunteers from all around the U.S. For more information, the phone call 301-497-5819. That's 301-497-5819, or visit the website www.mp2-pwrc. That's mp2-pwrc.usgs.gov/frogwatch, with a capital F and a capital W, /index.htm. And Friends of the Buffalo, Montana's mild winter continues, giving a reprieve to the Yellowstone buffalo, and the Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers committed to their protection. As of this writing, there is still only one buffalo, a bull, outside of Yellowstone Park on the Gallatin National Forest. This bull has been grazing in a meadow on the Madison River since mid-January. The Montana Department of Livestock tried hazing him back into the park 5 times, but were unsuccessful each time, facing a barrage of criticism for their needless harassment of the bull in the local and national media. The Department of Livestock has left him alone since February 10th. Stories of the bull have been very prominent in the press. In February, both ABC's Nightline and A&E's investigative reports told the story of the current slaughter and our work to protect it to international audiences. If you like, they're going to be having a week of action, April 22nd through the 30th, to honor the buffalo slaughtered in recent years and shut down the Department of Livestock this year. And if you've been waiting and wanting to help defend the Yellowstone buffalo, this is an excellent opportunity. Donations of food, winter gear, and financial support will go a long way. All contributions are tax deductible. Please contact them for more specific information. If you can't come up the week of the 22nd to the 30th, well, maybe you can do something else in your local area. Be a volunteer coordinator. Contact the Buffalo Field Campaign, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. That's the Buffalo Field Campaign, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. Or contact Buffalo at wildrockies.org. That's Buffalo at wildrockies.org. Great folks doing great work up there. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed to designate some 17,000 square miles of land and 8,440 square miles of marine waters as critical habitat for the Alaska breeding population of the Steller's Eider, a threatened sea duck. This proposal to designate critical habitat in Alaska highlights the fact that all species require healthy habitats to survive, according to David Allen, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Regional Director for Alaska. Proposal covers 15,800 square miles of breeding habitat on the north slope of Alaska and 1,200 acres on the Yukon-Kashkawim Delta, as well as marine waters of Kuskokwim Bay and along 9,000 miles of coastline from Nunavak Island in the eastern Aleutians along the western and southern shores of the Alaska Peninsula and east to Ketchumak Bay in the lower Cook Inlet and the Kodiak Archipelago. If you'd like to make a public comment on the proposal, contact the United States Fish and Wildlife Service before May 11th. Comments should be submitted to Ted Sweem, S-W-E-M, I guess, Swim, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Ecological Services, Fairbanks, 101 12th Avenue, Box 19, Room 110, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701. Why such a little office has such a long address, I don't know. Anyway, once again, that's Ted Sweem, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Ecological Services, Fairbanks, 101 12th Avenue, Box 19, Room 110, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701. And I'm not even going to attempt this webpage. You're going to have to find it for yourself. I would try going to www.access.gpo.gov and see if you can find something about or Stellar's Eider. That's it, Stellar's Eider. And a $1,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person who killed almost half of the raccoons living in New York's Central Park. Over the past 5 weeks, the Parks Department has found 20 raccoon carcasses in Central Park. Some 40 to 50 raccoons were believed to live there. And of the 11 raccoon carcasses examined, 10 were determined to have been killed by dog bites. The Parks Department believes someone is training a dog or a pack of dogs to hunt raccoons in Central Park. Unleashing packs of hunting dogs to deliberately maim and kill dozens of raccoons is simply grotesque, said Laura Simon, Urban Wildlife Director for the Fund for Animals. Given the recent attention to the link between cruelty in animals and violence towards people, the person who committed this cruel and illegal act may pose an even larger threat to society. If you have any information about what's happening in Central Park, contact their hotline, 1-800-201-PARK. That's 1-800-201-PARK. If you know who's been killing those raccoons. And bats could hold up roads in North Carolina. 6 months ago, the Indiana bat temporarily halted logging in three western North Carolina counties, and state officials want to make sure that similar problems do not arise with future road projects. The bat was federally listed as endangered in 1997 following the disappearance of large colonies that once hibernated in Indiana and Illinois. The bat is still found in small numbers throughout the Midwest, in the eastern United States, including western North Carolina. Last August, logging was temporarily suspended after 28 bats were found roosting in a tree. Logging resumed in September and October after the surveys were completed and bats left for the winter. You can cut down their trees when they're not there. That's okay. Oh, man. It goes on and on. Here's a novel email campaign. The campaign was created by a conservation group, American Rivers, and E-Group, an organization dedicated to accelerating social and political change. Recipients of the email campaign will get an attached Flash animation file showing Sammy the Salmon. Trying to make it upstream, Sammy succeeds on his third attempt, but is then swept through the dam's turbines and turned into fish meal, the group say. A click on the final screen of animation sends users to the official public comment form on the American Rivers website. You want to get there? Go to www.americanrivers.org and find Sammy the Salmon and, you know, have a little web fun. 12 conservation groups and one individual filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for failure to meet a deadline to list the lynx for protection under the Endangered Species Act. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service missed the January 8th deadline to make its decision. The groups challenged the delay with a notice of intent to sue on January 10th, and the agency has yet to publish the final rule. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proposed to list the lynx as threatened throughout the lower 48 states on July 8th, 1998. Which began a 12-month period to make the final ruling, but the agency invoked a rarely used clause in the Endangered Species Act to extend the deadline to January 8th. Why are they doing this? Just what does it take for the Fish and Wildlife Service to do its job and start protecting imperiled species, asked Dave Gillard of the Bozeman, Montana Predator Conservation Alliance, one of the groups that filed the lawsuit. Apparently, two previous lawsuits, 12 months to decide on a draft listing proposal, a six-month extension, and now another 60 days since we filed our intent to sue are not enough, he said. We simply cannot afford to wait any longer to implement conservation actions to protect this magnificent rare cat and the northern forest where it lives, Gillard added. The proposed listing has successfully generated increased research on lynx and their status and needs, and propose standards to protect them, said Tom Skeel, director of the Predator Conservation Alliance. Now is the time to implement our new knowledge to actually benefit lynx out there on the ground. From Denver, Colorado, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has released its draft recovery plan for grizzly bears in the Yellowstone ecosystem. The plan will guide state and federal land and wildlife agencies in managing and maintaining a grizzly bear population after the bears are determined to have been recovered. And they're going to be holding some open houses to talk over this plan. The open houses will be held on Conservation Strategy is March 21st in from 4 to 9 p.m. in Cody, Wyoming at the Holiday Inn. On March 23rd, from 4 to 9 p.m. at the Jackson Hole, Wyoming. That's Jackson Hole on March 23rd at the Ranch Inn in Jackson Hole. In Bozeman, Montana, March 28th from 5 to 8 p.m. That's in Bozeman, Montana. And in Idaho Falls, Idaho, from on April 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. in Idaho Falls. That will be at the Inn at Kavanaugh's. Public comments accepted until May 30th by mail to the Grizzly Bear Recovery Coordinator, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, University Hall, Room 309, University of Montana, Missoula, Montana, 59812. Once again, Grizzly Bear Recovery Coordinator, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, University Hall, Room 309, University of Montana, Missoula, Montana, 59802, or email, this is simpler, fw6_grizzly@fws.gov. That's capital F, capital W, 6_grizzly@fws.gov. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has released the final environmental impact statement for reintroducing at least 25 grizzly bears into the wilderness areas of Idaho and Montana. The bears would be designated non-essential experimental populations and would be under the management of a 15-member citizens management committee. The agency is seeking comments on the plan, which would reintroduce grizzlies into 25,140 square miles of the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness over 5 years. If you'd like to make those comments, please do so. The final EIS is available at the webpage www.r6.fws.gov/NSPP/grizzly. Once again, that webpage, www.r6.fws.gov/ENDSPP/grizzly. Or you can send your email comments to capital F, capital W, 6_bitterroot@fws.gov. That's capital F, capital W, 6_B in Bitterroot at fws.gov, and please do so before April 24th. A little grizzly tidbit. Over 95% of the 17,000 public comments on the Fish and Wildlife Service draft habitat-based recovery criteria for Yellowstone grizzlies wanted better protection for the bears in their habitat, said Green. Conservationists, now backed by overwhelming public support, recommend that the final recovery criteria include strong protection for habitat outside of the Yellowstone Grizzly Bear Recovery Zone and corridors linking populations through the Northern Rockies and continued Endangered Species Act legal protection. And unfortunately, that's about all we have time for today. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send them to us by email. Our address, cruzef@cruzio.com, that's spelled cruzef@cruzio.com, or send your letters to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95601. That's our address. Again, Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And please, announcements need to be here 3 weeks in advance to get them on the air. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. You can listen to Earth First Radio on your computer. Go to the World Wide Web at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio, followed by the number 4, followed by all, .net. You'll need a sound card in your computer, but the software you need to play the MP3 files is free on the website. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Please ask your local station to broadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. Portions of this newscast were prepared with the help of Eon Blues. We want to thank some of the Forest Elves for keeping our attitude correct. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And now we're going to listen to some Peg Millett. This is off of her Clear Horizons CD, one of my favorites.
Manifest destiny. really said a young man go west. So I chewed up the mountains and it spit out the plains. While we get indigestion from each acid rain. It's gotten so bad the west ain't any place. I'll ask you how are you and you stare into space. What's left of the west is where we've already been. So Alaska, Hawaii again. Honolulu's no Lulu, Fairbanks ain't so fair. Take a sip of the water, take a whiff of the air. Take some pictures of the wildlife, take a leak in the stream. Take a jet back to Cleveland and dream. Well, if trees went to Congress and the forests could vote, our chances of survival might not be so remote. Since we don't give a damn as to who they'd elect, their absentee ballot is the greenhouse effect. What's a boatload of timber with the whole human race? I'll ask you how are you, and you stare into space. What's left of the West is where we've already been. So Alaska, Hawaii, take a sip of the water, take a whiff of the air, take some pictures of the wildlife, take a leak in the stream, take a jet back to Cleveland and dream.
Take a jet back to Cleveland and dream.